This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, powered by the Family Research Council, your embassy of faith, family, and freedom in the heart of our nation's capital. Now, here's your host, FRC President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Thursday edition, a battle is brewing between California and the Trump administration over the issue of immigration. Yesterday, as Attorney General Jeff Sessions was in California talking to law enforcement officials, the Department of Justice announced legal action against the Golden State for blocking enforcement of immigration laws. Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee will be here to talk about it. And she'll also address the claim by Planned Parenthood's president, Cecile Richards, that the abortion giant has been totally cleared in the criminal investigation regarding Planned Parenthood's trafficking in baby body parts. Also, a showdown in the Show Me State between Attorney General Josh Hawley and Google. What is the big tech giant doing besides censoring conservatives that has the AG's attention? He'll be here to tell us about it. And a new poll finds a majority of Americans are concerned by the threat Russian President Vladimir Putin poses and questions if President Trump is doing enough about it. New York Times bestselling author Joel Rosenberg commissioned the survey. He'll join us to share the details. And I also want to get to your phone calls today, so we'll be doing that later in the program. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you're on Twitter, at T. Perkins. We've covered a lot of information this week, so if you missed anything, you can find it all at the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, I began my morning this morning. I was privileged to open the House of Representatives in prayer this morning at the invitation of my good friend Steve Scalise. So it was good to be up there and see members in action before they wrapped up the week and headed home. But a lot happening on the immigration front. We talked about it yesterday with Congressman Goodlatte in the bill that he has. And at the same time, we saw this action by the Department of Justice to take action against California for blocking the enforcement of immigration laws. Now, here is a short clip of Jerry Brown, the governor of California, yesterday attacking the actions that Jeff Sessions took. Listen,
you know, the Trump administration is full of liars. This is basically going to war against the state of California, the engine of the American economy. It's not wise, it's not right, and it will not stand.
I almost have to laugh. That's just a short clip. You heard of some of the other stuff he said. But I have to laugh at the thing that it's the engine, the American engine. Just the overall fiscal condition, I'm going to get to the issue, but just to put his comments in context, California last year was 44 out of 50 when it comes to overall fiscal condition. Three out of the five biggest municipal bankruptcies in the United States history were, guess where? Yeah, Jerry Brown's state, a state that's constantly teetering on the edge, literally sometimes. And they want to criticize the attorney general for wanting to enforce federal law. What they're doing is they've created these sanctuary cities, making it illegal for law enforcement officials to do their job. Joining me now is Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn. She represents the 7th Congressional District of the Volunteer State. Marsha, welcome back to Washington Watch.
So good to be with you. Thank you. And I'm so pleased you're talking about this issue because I listened to those remarks yesterday and I thought, what is Jerry Brown thinking? You look at states like Florida and Texas and Tennessee that have led in jobs growth. And then, as you were saying, you look at the fiscal condition of the states, and California is one of the worst.
Well, they are, and it's the policies promoted by Jerry Brown and many of his colleagues who are more interested in trying to keep federal law enforcement, even local law enforcement, from doing their job when it comes to protecting America's borders and cities. Now, let me ask you this question. Does the Department of Justice have a case against the state of California?
Of course they do, because the state of California is saying not only to their cities, but to their employers and their citizens, do not comply with this portion of federal law. Now, I want you to think about this, Tony. If you are an employer in California, or if you run an organization and you think you've got a bad actor in front of you, they're saying don't report it. If they come to you, if law enforcement comes to you to investigate somebody, you're not supposed to even answer the question.
Well, actually, I think they go further than that in making it a crime if you do it. So you could be in violation of state law. When and there's such a thing as a supremacy clause, where when it comes to certain issues, the federal government trumps state law. I mean, we may not like it, but there's certain areas that are carved out for the federal government, and one of those is immigration because it affects every state in the nation.
That's exactly right. And see, you're right. It would be a crime under state law to comply with federal law by answering the question. So this is just how this is. It is amazing to me that they have drifted this far from the rule of law, that what they're doing is saying we're going to go to these lengths to protect illegal aliens that are in the country. I think it's ridiculous. And, of course, we have the Goodlatte-McCall bill in the House that you discussed with Chairman Goodlatte, and we would love to get that passed and over to the Senate.
Yeah, the three areas that the Department of Justice is challenging California on is one of the laws you just described that makes it a crime for business owners to voluntarily help federal agents find and detain undocumented workers. It prohibits local law enforcement from alerting immigration agents when detainees are released from custody and create a state inspection program for federal immigration detention centers. I mean, this is just it's over the top. But then when you hear the rhetoric of state officials out there, I mean, we heard the clip from Jerry Brown, but you've got the mayor of Oakland that is a sanctuary city. Playing the race card. In fact, the state Senate president, pro tem Kevin DeLeon, who was actually competing for the United States Senate seat that Dianne Feinstein has out there, accused Sessions of having an ideology based on, quote, white supremacy and white nationalism, end quote. I mean, to me, that's reckless when you look at the fact you have an attorney general that's simply trying to enforce the law.
Well, you look at this as an entire package. Immigration, as you said, is federal law because it affects everybody. And this is one of the constitutional powers that Congress has. The administration doesn't have it. The states don't have it. And General Sessions is seeking to provide assurance to the American people that federal law is being complied with. And people want this because it is something that is going to keep our community safe. It will keep our state safe. It will keep our country safe. Now, we all look at the Kate Steinle issue and remember
right.
That is someone
right.
that happened in California. That individual had been deported five times, came back in, and committed this crime. And, Tony, it is things like that with these criminal illegal aliens that come into communities, and then communities will not work with ICE to deport them. That is the action that turns every state into a border state and every town into a border town.
Well, and you've introduced legislation to deal with that, so you know about this. This is something you've been working on for quite some time.
That's exactly right. And we've worked on this since 2006, and the legislation you're referencing is the CLEAR Act, and that would require ICE to deport these criminal illegal aliens and would keep federal funds from going to these sanctuary cities. If they're not complying, It would also require ICE to reimburse the cities that are complying when they apprehend a criminal illegal alien. And when you look at how you keep our community safe, making certain that gangs do not get a foothold, that you do not have this criminal element that is being harbored in communities, it is important to make certain that that portion of law is carried out. And for years, this program has been handled under a Department of Justice portion of code and DOJ grants. They're called 287G grants. And many cities have used this money when they would apprehend someone who was in the area illegally and they commit a crime, they serve their time, then they're released to ICE and they're deported and supposed to be barred from reentry. And in the Steinle issue, that is not what happened. That person came back in the country. But you know what we have to do, Tony, is to pass the CLEAR Act, have it signed into law, make certain that the criminal illegal aliens are deported, that they do not return, and that our communities who are working with federal law enforcement and with ICE are being reimbursed, and the citizens are of that community are being reimbursed because they are complying with federal law.
Mm-hmm. So where does this ultimately end up, Marsha Blackburn, with the case between the Department of Justice and California? Is this going to end up at the Supreme Court?
I think it will end up at the Supreme Court. I certainly do. And just as with many different cases that end up there, when the House sued the HHS, the Obama HHS, over what they were doing with taking federal dollars and doing the subsidies in health care, and the House won that lawsuit. You know, that one ended up at the Supreme Court. And I think likewise we will see this lawsuit with DOJ. And, of course, the Supreme Court should side with the rule of law. You have to be in compliance with federal law, and the federal government does not have to support you if you're not going to comply with federal law.
I think you're right. I think it's cut and dry. Hey, we're almost out of time. Quickly, a question. You chaired the Select Committee on Infant Lives in the House, which referred to the Department of Justice or FBI to investigate potential criminal activity on behalf of Planned Parenthood. Earlier this week, Cecile Richards says they've been completely cleared of any wrongdoing. True or false?
I would have to say I'm not sure where she got that. On December 8th, I got a letter from the DOJ saying they and the FBI had taken up to 15 criminal referrals that I sent them on this issue.
Yeah, all right. Marsha Blackburn, as always, great to have you on. Thanks for all you're doing in the United States Congress.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn from the great state of Tennessee. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, we've been talking about big tech, these big companies. Well, have they met their match in Missouri? The attorney general there taking on Google for some of their antitrust, anti-consumer activities. The attorney general of Missouri, Josh Hawley, joins us next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with more. In just a moment.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, last November, Missouri's Attorney General launched an investigation into whether or not Google's business practices violated its consumer protection and antitrust laws amid growing concerns over the influence of powerful technology companies. This is a problem. We've been talking about what big tech is doing and basically monopolizing certain things, including the virtual public square. Joining us now is the Attorney General of the State of Missouri, Josh Hawley. Josh, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Well, General, you're the first AG in the country, if I'm not mistaken, to take on Google. I mean, it's a pretty big company, and you're going toe-to-toe with them.
Well, you know, they are probably, Tony, the most powerful corporation in the world. They certainly collect more information about each one of us than any other corporation in history. And look, I just want the facts. I want to know, what is Google doing with all of this information they're collecting on us? I want to know if they are telling us what they are really collecting, and I want to know if they are using their tremendous power, including their just tremendous market power, in the search engine market and other markets, that they're using that to benefit themselves.
So essentially using this information from consumers, from those that use their search engines for profit, to use that information in ways that could affect commerce in the state? Is that the motive?
Yeah, it could affect commerce in the state. It could squelch competition. I mean, you know, we have seen evidence that allegations, reports that Google is using its market power to take information from competitors and use it to their own advantage, to keep out competitors who would want to get into the market and try and compete with them. But I'm even more concerned, Tony, about Google using this private, confidential information that they get from consumers, turning around and selling it to third parties. And I think we have a right to know what exactly is Google collecting from every.
And they won't. I mean, that's a pretty straightforward. I mean, it's a pretty straightforward question. I mean, I would think you, as the chief law enforcement officer, the attorney general there in the state of Missouri, asking that information to protect consumers and the citizens, that they would want to give you that information.
Yeah. I would think so, too, and I hope that they will be cooperative with the investigation. I mean, here's the fact of the matter, is that my job as the chief law enforcement officer is to protect the people of my state and to look out for them and their safety and the safety of their families. And Google controls more information that flows to each one of us than any company maybe in the history of the world, more, again, private information about each one of us. And so I want to know, how are they using their power? And what are they doing with our information? And I'm going to keep after it until we know exactly what the facts are.
Well, General Hawley, I think you are on to something, because increasingly the American people are skeptical of big tech companies. In fact, a majority of Republicans, one of the latest polls I've seen, who are generally opposed to government regulation and engagement, you know, and somehow putting too much emphasis on regulating business, actually want to see government look into what big tech is doing.
Well, and you know, when it comes to regulating business, I'm there with most Americans in that I think that usually government that steps in, particularly when they try to control business, it never works out. My concern here is that we have companies that are potentially using advantages, in some cases advantages the government has given them, in order to squelch competition, in order to collect information on consumers, and ultimately in order to harm consumers. So I haven't prejudged any of this. I mean, I want the facts.
Right.
I want to know exactly what's happening. But I think of it this way. I am for the free market, not for monopoly, and I am for free competition, because that's what protects producers and consumers.
Well, in general, that's the concern, is the monopoly. And there's I spoke about this last week at the National Religious Broadcasters, is that increasingly these big tech companies have a monopoly on the virtual public square that they've created, and they're picking winners and losers. They're moving to censor certain voices in this what they call free speech area, and that's troubling when companies have that much power.
It's very troubling, and it's even more troubling when consumers don't know they're doing it. You know, when consumers don't know what these companies are actually filtering in their results or in the news feeds that they make available, you know, that is all withheld from consumers, so they can't see actually the decisions to prioritize certain speech over others. So I agree with you. I mean, these companies, again, and Google's a perfect example, have unprecedented market power, unprecedented control over information that flows to the average American, and we need to make sure that they are following the law, that they are respecting the laws that the people have written, and that they are allowing competition to be open and fair.
Now, you're not the only one that has had concerns. Now, you may be the only state attorney general that's taken action, but the U.S. Federal Trade Commission started looking for evidence a couple years ago, and even the European Union fined Google, I think, $2.7 billion for violating antitrust laws.
Absolutely. And it was an extremely large fine, I think one of the largest in EU history. And we also are investigating those very same antitrust allegations, which relate to whether Google is using its power, say, in the search engine market to prioritize its own companies by making them come up earlier in the search, you know, so that Google companies or Google affiliates are benefited by a search algorithm that's supposed to be neutral. But your point is exactly right, Tony. I mean, this is something the FTC looked into this earlier. Frankly, I thought the FTC's investigation under President Obama, who had a lot of ties to Google, was not a very serious investigation. So I think it's incumbent on those of us who are law enforcement officers to do our jobs, to take a hard look at the facts. All I want are the facts, and to make sure that these companies are playing by the rules.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. I think some of these companies have using their power in ways that I think the American people are concerned about. I, for one, am. Attorney General Josh Hawley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. The Attorney General of the State of Missouri. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. Look, I'm really grateful for these elected officials. You know, we had the Lieutenant Governor of Georgia on yesterday taking on Delta for their, you know, delving into politics, Google using its power in what ways, not sure. All right, up next, Joel Rosenberg joins us with a new poll about Russia. Don't go away. We're back after this.
you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Appropriate intro music for our next topic. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, exclusive new polling on the latest American attitudes toward Russia's Vladimir Putin and President Trump, and whether or not he's taking strong enough stance to keep Vladimir Putin in check. Just released, the survey was conducted on behalf of political analyst and New York Times best-selling author, our good friend Joel Rosenberg. It was done by McLaughlin and Associates, which has done polling on behalf of a number of U.S. and foreign clients. So joining us now is Joel Rosenberg, author of the new book. We had him on last week talking about the Kremlin conspiracy. Welcome back to Washington Watch, Joel.
Great to be with you, Tony. Thank you.
And welcome to the Federal City.
Thank you. It's good to be back, both in the United States and in Washington.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be, as I said, I'll be visiting you soon over in Israel, but glad to have you here in Washington.
Well, tell our listeners. Having you over at our Capitol there soon.
It'll be good, and hopefully be there a little bit later when they move the embassy to the Capitol as well.
Are you guys full? I hope that everybody listening is anybody considering to go to Israel this year.
We're full. Go with Tony.
Sign up.
We're at a point now having to turn people away.
Okay, so, don't sign up.
They'll have to
catch us next time. For 2 months later, but still, yeah. Well, good. Good for you guys.
Let's talk now about this poll. This is some interesting information where Americans stand with Russia in terms of their concern about what Vladimir Putin might be up to.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So, and you set it up well, and I just want to note that John McLaughlin, who's one of the partners in McLaughlin and Associates, is one of the President Trump's own pollsters. And so this is not only is he highly respected and often just dead on accurate, but he's a friend of the president. He's working closely with the president. What's interesting is these numbers tell us that Americans overwhelmingly see Vladimir Putin as a threat. We specifically asked if, in light of all of the Putin invasions of the Republic of Georgia, southern Ukraine, eastern Ukraine, Syria, all the other terrible things he's doing. But do Americans see him as a clear and present danger to Americans and to our allies like NATO and to Israel? Or do they just think he's a challenge, a problem, whatever? 72.5%, 73% essentially, of Americans see Vladimir Putin as a clear and present danger, which I think is
that's pretty significant.
How many topics can you think of right now where three out of four Americans agree on anything?
True.
It tells us that even though Washington and certainly the media is not talking about Vladimir Putin, unless they're trying to blame, you know, President Trump for, you know, criminal and conspiracy of some sort. But, they're not talking about Putin day to day, but people have absorbed enough over time that they, I think, instinctively get it. And that's a good sign.
Well, as we talked about last week, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, very concerned about Russia. In fact, sees Russia as the greatest threat, military threat to the United States and to Europe. So the American people get it. I think part of it is the posturing of Vladimir Putin. He clearly is kind of an in-your-face leader. But what do they anticipate? What do they want to see from Donald Trump?
Well, one other before we get there, just there's one other question we asked. I think this is relevant. We asked which of these following statements comes closest to your view of Putin. Do you think that because he's invaded a bunch of other countries that he might, you know, invade another, a small European country, maybe a Middle Eastern country? 61% said yes. That's what they fear. We gave him the other option, which is, well, he's invaded some countries in the past, but no, I don't worry that he's a current danger. No, only 17% said they weren't worried. So, which leads us to, what's your view of President Donald Trump? Do you see him as somebody who understands the threat that Putin poses and is doing everything he can to protect the American people and our allies from that threat, or has he not convinced you that he sufficiently understands the gravity of the Putin threat and that you basically, you know, and you want him to do much more to counter the threat? And I think the way we phrase the question, I'm giving you the short version. People can go to joelrosenberg.com to our blog, and it's got the exact wording. But that's the setup. Do you think Trump sees it and is doing it plenty, or is he? You're not sure. You're not convinced that he sees it well enough, that threat, and that he needs to do much more. And what's interesting is a full majority said that they don't think he's doing enough. 52%. So this was interesting because I think as we head into the 2018 midterm elections, and as Putin, you know, has this big election on March 18th, he's not going to lose, but it means he's got another 6 years. It'll be a quarter of a century in power as a tyrant. We know he's attacking, he's trying to subvert American democracy unsuccessfully, thank God. He gave this terrible belligerent speech, the worst of 18 years in office, a week ago. He is rising as a threat, and we need President Trump to step up. I don't think the president's doing something wrong, but he's not doing enough, and that's what the American people say.
Very interesting. Well, we're going to watch that very closely, and folks can see the entire results there at joelrosenberg.com?
Yes, just clicking onto the blog. It's the lead story.
All right. Joel Rosenberg, as always, my friend, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday afternoon.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Joel Rosenberg. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, or go over to JoelRosenberg.com. All right. When we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, here's what I want to talk about. I want to go back to our discussion with the Attorney General of Missouri, Josh Hawley, about the big tech companies. I want to ask you this: are you concerned about the power and the information that big tech companies like Google and Facebook are amassing? Does that concern you? And are you glad when you see these things happening, like being investigated and government taking action to try to keep them in check? 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, the number to get in the call. All right, I was communicating with Joel after after that last segment. Interested in when he did this poll. This poll was conducted in February last month, so it's like a very recent poll. And it's interesting because if you actually read his book, The Kremlin Conspiracy, which just came out Monday, I had an advanced copy, read it. It's really good. It was one of those you just kind of read, have a hard time putting it down. So but anyway, you might want to get a copy of it. It's very interesting how a lot of his novels come about to be more fact than fiction. But anyway, Kremlin Conspiracy, the name of Joel Rosenberg's latest book. All right, what do you think? Are you concerned about the power and the information that big tech companies like Google and Facebook are amassing, how they're using that, you know, shutting down free speech, trying to, snoop into what people are doing and using that to their benefit, really creating a monopoly. Are you concerned about that? 866-372-7234. I'm going to go to Daryl in West Virginia first, that he has a question. Daryl, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yeah, it's good to be on with you. I got a question, and I don't know. I guess it'd be all right to ask him anyway. I'm concerned about where the United States is. You know, we used to be the number one power in the world, I guess. And our armed forces and all that is down so much. I'm wondering if anything is being done to build our armed forces back up, to get us back up to where we're not way down on a totem pole.
Well, you are absolutely correct, Daryl. We are not at the top. We are, I wouldn't say we're at the bottom, but we're certainly not, we don't have the strength we once had. In fact, the in the spending bill that was approved last month, there was a fairly, I think it was about a 13% increase. I'm thinking off the top of my head there, so I may be off on the percentage, but I think it was a 13% increase, could be more, in military spending, which desperately needed. Our military was really decimated during the Obama years because of sequestration, meaning that we set these caps because we were trying to keep the discretionary spending on social programs down. You know, the Republicans were able to win that, but Obama required that, well, okay, if you're not going to increase spending on social programs, we're not going to increase spending on military. And so as a result, we have a military strength that is pre-World War II. Fewer ships than we've had since, I think, World War I. In fact, there was, I think it's half, again, I'm going off the top of my head, but I think it was like half of the airplanes that the Air Force has can't fly. They're not really serviceable. Yeah, the military's in bad shape. That doesn't even take into account, Daryl, the morale issues with our military, with all of the social experimentation that the previous administration did. So, Daryl, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. In fact, it was interesting. Today, I think it was the comment out of the Marine Corps made a comment that less than 30% of the America's age-qualified individuals that could serve would be qualified to serve in the military, only less than 30% in the Marine Corps because of criminal, emotional, physical condition. And then the problem you add on top of that, that so many don't want to serve because of what's been done to our military in the last decade. It's been turned into a laboratory for social experimentation, and it's affecting recruitment, retention, and readiness. How about that? We warned that would happen, and look what's happening, just what we warned. 866-372-7234. Going back to our earlier discussion with the Attorney General of Missouri talking about big tech companies, are you concerned about the power and the information that these companies like Google and Facebook are amassing? Let's go to Dallas, Texas, where Carol is on the line. Carol, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. How are you today?
I'm sorry, what is that?
I said, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's Thankful Thursday and Friday Eve, so
absolutely.
You know, I have a son who is active duty, and he currently is on a one-year unaccompanied assignment in the Middle East. He called me while we FaceTime when the tax cut went through to tell me that not only had he gotten a tax cut, but he got the first raise that he has had in 8 years.
Yes, they did. That was included in that package, was an increase in pay for our military.
And we've talked about our readiness. It's not something he can talk a lot about, but every now and then he'll just say something like, you know, our military basically became more of almost like a National Guard under Obama's reign, and it was very frustrating. And he is a senior master sergeant. He saw good guys leaving. Good men and women leaving the service, some with 10, 12 years of service under their belt, because they were so demoralized and they were so disgusted with the military.
Yeah, and we're not going to see the full effect of that for, you know, still a few years, because what you're going to have is this huge this gap of seasoned, qualified leaders that are leaving. So you got those that stuck around that were Obamatized during his administration that became very political correctness. They embraced it. But then you've got this huge gap between them and then the new people coming in. It's gonna have a serious impact upon our military.
It is, and especially it's just like the brain drain you're seeing with a lot of the baby boomers who are starting to retire from the workforce. And the problem with that is you can't just take somebody fresh out of basic and throw them into a job that they're not prepared for. And it takes years sometimes, yes, to develop the skills, and especially the leadership.
Without question.
That's his biggest frustration.
And absolutely, Carol. Thank you so much for listening and for calling in. And there was a purge of military leaders during the Obama years. Those that would not march to the beat of his politically correct drum were basically pushed out. And that's one of my concerns that I've verbalized, is that a lot of the leaders that are there and are really at the top ranks that were promoted during the Obama years had to do a lot of I would say, a lot of conforming to bad policy. And, you know, as General Boykin, who's on the program frequently, we talked about during the Obama year, sometimes there comes a time when you just put your stars on the table and you refuse, not by refusing orders, but by saying, I can't do that. I can't go there, and put your stars and bars on the table. Carol, again, thanks for calling. Appreciate you listening. Let's go to Lance in Arkansas. Lance, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thank you very much. Quick comment about the Google and the Facebook issue. Let me just preface by saying I don't agree with the politics that either of those corporations have or stand for. However, those people that are involved in those have created private properties and have offered products to the consumer, which the consumers have amazingly and just with great numbers have accepted and adopted. And so these private properties have volunteer customers who, in the course of doing business, contribute their data. And as long as those companies are not maliciously harming us with that, then they're using their private property rights in a way that I don't believe government should interfere with.
You make a very valid point, Lance, and I think that's where a lot of people, there's that tension there. But part of the concern that was being addressed in this is, as they collect that information, exactly what kind of information are they collecting? How are they safeguarding? And as we've seen increasingly, some of these big companies that have had the breaches of security and they've been hacked, the information, not everybody knows exactly what information they have and how that might be used. So, I mean, I think that's one of the concerns. I think it's the consumer protection angle. But also, I think my bigger concern is these entities like Google in particular holding itself out as the new virtual public square, but yet they're not. They're picking sides, using their political ideology to determine who has access and who does not. I completely get it. It's a private entity, but yet they're holding themselves out as a public good. And at some point in time, that could be very problematic for conservatives if they continue to go down this track of their liberal ideology and using that as a driver for their business.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, they are, in fact, doing those things. And then many times they do silence people who disagree with them. But we as conservatives and libertarians are not restricted to Google as the only search engine. There are other search engines out there. There are other places that offer up public square type of applications where people can meet and discuss things online. And so we're not restricted by anyone to use Google. It just so happens that they have a superior product offering. And so I, even though I disagree with them politically and philosophically at that corporate level, I use their product because it's the best. And so I would hate to see government put their sticky fingers on a private entity simply because they don't necessarily promote my...
Well, it's not so much that, Lance. I would agree with you on that point, but I think it's not so much that is. Are they doing things that are preventing competition? Are they creating, are government policies or a government indifference in certain areas allowing monopolies to be created or for them to use an advantage, which was uncovered in the European Union where they actually were threatening it was the FTC uncovered that information, that they were threatening companies that would not fall in line with them. So I do think that government does serve the role as a watchdog. But I would agree with you, Lance, that, and I don't want government meddling in private business unnecessarily and being heavy-handed with their regulations. That I would agree with. Lance, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate you your listening. Good conversation. And that's the tension, I think, between Republicans and conservatives who really don't like government regulation. But when you see these corporations that are using information to their advantage and to stifle competition, and then, you know, not only competition in the business, in the marketplace, but then using the corner they have on the market of the, you know, the, like, again, they use the term virtual public square, of picking and choosing which side gets to speak, that's most troubling to me. Really, I mean, that is the most troubling, especially as we see more and more of the public intercourse in terms of the conversation taking place in these virtual venues. It's something to be watched. All right. Sorry we didn't get to the rest of the calls. We had some great callers today. I wanted to bring up some great points, so apologize. Thank you all for calling, and thank you all for listening. And let me encourage you again, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. Again, that's 1-866-372-7234. 372-7234.